The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See? In trouble.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, your ambassador for water here from WTBR 89.7 FM. You are listening to the water culture of the world coming straight here from the Berkshires to all around the world. We got a really great guest today, Eric Wasilewski,
abundance of water.
A fellow Easterner Europeaner. Actually, Poland once owned Hungary, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we're going to be talking about some Navy stuff, some Veterans for Peace stuff, and he'll be with us second half of the show. Just walked into the studio, so super psyched to have him here. And got some music lined up your way, water music. But before I even go there, we got 89.7 WTBR FM is proud to announce our 7th annual one-day on air and on water fundraiser. The event will take place on Thursday, November 20th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Don't miss our guests, including local dignitaries and your friends and neighbors from the community. There will be plenty of incentives you can win, including restaurant gift certificates, tickets to local cultural attractions, and much more. You can make your donation to the Rock Box right now at WTBRFM.com. Check that out. Don't miss the annual one-day on-air fundraiser, just to repeat ourselves, live from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, November 20th, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and only on 89.7 WTBR FM, all day live on the WTBR Facebook page. Thanks for supporting your community radio station going live around the world at all times. Gotta love it. 89.7 when you're in the Pittsfield major metropolitan area. And then down south in Lee, in Mass, place that gave marble to all of Washington, D.C., you're taking a look at 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your super waterman, ambassador for H2O. Got a little music coming your way. And let's go see what we got going on in that way. We're going to start with some really great water music brought to you by the Virgin Mary's Just Ride.
Final time, pretend that we meant something more than this. When the memories you left behind remind me you were never mine, the lonely train you left without a kiss. The golden curve, a silver spoon, the eyes like pearls, they wept too soon. Hold me up until the day I die. Wait for time, you're my bride, but time was there.
to take my place. Cloak and dagger from the start, you twist the knife into my heart. Watch my eyes bleed tracks upon my face. Me, you lost the will to live. When you lost the will to give, take it with the little left inside.
Save. Man!
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Summer's come and the days are getting long. Waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. We'll jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night. Baby, get ready.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water, right here at Pittsfield Community Radio, WTBR 89.7 FM, bringing you water culture from the Berkshires, the center of the cultural evolution of this country, going around the world. Check it out on Apple. Check it out on YouTube Music. Check it out. We are having our new video format coming on. And a little bit of news coming your way, and then we're going to have our guest, Eric Wasilewski, who just started a Veterans for Peace, both an initiative and a chapter, all at the same on the same day, I think. So he's going to be coming in here all victorious and talking about the value of, you know, everything from the value of the warrior class to, you know, starting to wean ourselves away from cannon fodder wars. And we'll talk more about that pretty soon. Got a little bit of news from water-related news. This is from the BBC. Ben Halton put this out. Let's see how it's done.
Three men have been killed in a U.S. strike on an alleged drug-smuggling boat in the Caribbean, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth has said. It is the latest in a series of attacks on vessels the Trump administration says are being used to smuggle drugs into the U.S. Since they began in September, experts have questioned the legality of the strikes under international law, which have drawn strong criticism from Latin American leaders whose citizens have been targeted. Combating the flow of illegal drugs is a key policy for U.S. President Donald Trump, but some have suggested the strikes are part of efforts to influence politically opposed governments in the region. Hegseth said the boat targeted on Saturday was operated by a designated terrorist organization, without specifying which one, and had been traveling in international waters when it was hit. The vessel was traveling along a known drug smuggling route and carrying narcotics, he said, without providing evidence. Hegseth's statement late on Saturday was accompanied by a video that appears to show a blurred-out boat traveling through the water before exploding. Announcements of these strikes are usually accompanied with grainy footage but no evidence of the alleged drug trafficking and few details about who or what was on board each vessel. The Trump administration has previously said that some boats targeted had departed from Venezuela. The Trump administration has insisted that it was targeting narco-terrorists. The BBC's U.S. partner, CBS News, reported that at least 64 people have been killed by American airstrikes in the Caribbean and Eastern Pacific since early September.
That was from the BBC, Ben Halton, who wrote that a couple days ago. Water-related news brought to you by And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. In a couple of minutes, I am bringing on, actually, in less than a couple of minutes, actually, I'm going to be bringing him on right now, Veterans of Peace creator here in the wonderful city of Pittsfield, a new chapter for lots of people. It's been quite a whirlwindy 4 years. So tell me a little, Eric,
yeah.
Eric Wasilewski, right?
Yeah. Wasilewski. Thank you for having me.
Wasilewski. Yeah. So tell our water-loving listeners around the world a little bit about who you are and what brought you here.
My name is Eric Wasilewski. I'm a Persian Gulf veteran of Operation Desert Fox, and I also was deployed to former Yugoslavia, Operation Joint Endeavor. So I was deployed twice. I was in the Navy at the time. I was in the Army before I was in the Navy. And so I like to joke to folks that I joined the Navy to get out of the Army.
Wow.
And I had been a grunt in the Army. And I was in the National Guard and went active duty. And when I decided to go active duty, they said, well, you're already a grunt. And
what does that actually mean?
Well, a grunt is someone that, you know, is in infantry.
Infantry.
Straight leg infantry, 11 Bravo.
Wow.
Rifleman. I was my job was a rifleman in the Army.
Wow.
And I had really high scores on my ASVAB, And when I joined the Navy, they tried to get me to, they tried to talk me into going to nukes.
Wow. But, what does ADSVAB mean? Because some people who are listening to us or are subscribers and or sometimes...
It's an aptitude.
I like to kind of break down the jargon so people can get the kind of understand it all together. What does...
ASVAB is Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery.
Wow.
It's just a test that tells you what kind of skills you have.
Wow.
And it's actually, I wish that more people could take it because they tell you if you're good at electronics, they'll tell you if you're good at words, you know, what,
yeah, you can make
where your skills are.
About a lot of things.
And totally. I think that it's a good thing to have that kind of thing when you're young to see where your strengths are.
Yeah.
And they did they did a pretty good job organizing us into our skill set and our job because of that test.
So did you see live action?
I was deployed twice. So what I saw, what I will say a little bit about this is that whenever the military gets used, and especially in the sea, it's not just the ship. We heard a little bit of news story about alleged drug dealers being blown up.
Yeah, alleged is the underscored word of the century.
And when I was in active duty, we would have to board those ships and find what was on them.
Yeah, that's kind of law.
Whenever the ships get exploded, it's not just the ship, and it's also the water, and it's the fish.
Wow,
it's the everything that's there is destroyed, and the ship is on the surface of the water, and so there's going to be debris and then
leaks of some kind,
oil spills and. Whatever this was in the explosion is going to be in the water now. So the warfare. So Veterans for Peace.
It's kind of not the cleanest thing on the block.
It's actually filthy.
Uh-huh.
And there's chemicals that get left behind. We don't know what kind of ordnance they use, if they're using like depleted uranium or if they're using whatever they're using. It's not good. And I'll just go on to say a little bit that Veterans for Peace has come to the place where we believe that peace is a spiritual pursuit, and it's a
for sure
to bring violence into a spiritual pursuit is a misunderstanding of what peace actually is, and so it's something you cannot fight for it, and violence is inherently on the opposite side of peace, and so they're trying to use the wrong tool to actually create peace, and what violence can do is create order. Order is a masquerader of peace. Peace and order are not the same thing
at
all.
It's kind of like the outside versus the inside. The outside, if you have a skeleton in our bodies, and if those skeletons are healthy, and let's say the skeleton for, a workable world that includes more people than it leaves out, is actually lets you know how to build a thing. And when you're doing it from the outside, hey, you stand in line over here and got to hit it with a stick or whatever. it's an outside thing. So
right.
That's an outside thing.
Love has its own order.
Yeah.
And peace is followed on the order of love. And it's not followed on outside order. Military order can't be. It's the wrong tool.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, what I was kind of like, for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. I'm here with Eric Wasilewski.
Wasilewski, yeah.
Lesky. Yeah. Straight. Okay, great. So thanks for the clarification. Now, you're talking about your life in the military, some ideas and thoughts about it. What about... What helped you? People say whatever they say, but what's the percentage of people who come back from a military space in live combat that they come back with some kind of impact to their psyche, to their way of being? What's the
100%?
100% all the time.
There's nobody that goes over there that comes back without some sort of injury. And whether or not they can acknowledge it or whether or not they can...
Even a general.
Well, the generals, the injury there is ordering people to do vile, terrible things. I'm sure there's injury there. All right. Speaking for myself, when I was over there, and I was over there during Operation Desert Fox, which was when Bill Clinton was being impeached.
So his, oh, was this one of the dog's tails wagging?
Yeah, wag the tail. The tail, the dog. Wag the Dog was out. That movie was out. And we were actually watching it on the ship.
Yeah, thank you, Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was Monica, and it was, you know, it was a mess.
Yeah.
But I was over there while Bill Clinton was being impeached and making war, and I realized that war has nothing to do with peace. Very little.
You know, the funny thing is that maybe the through line isn't just the water and the Navy and the impact and all that. It's the sexual scandal that's there today. Well, and then back then, and what we will do to try and change a subject on the thing that wants to be discussed. And that's like, imagine that level where a country could put itself into war, send other people to do that war, and then the whole thing was trying to have people pay attention to something else.
Well, if you're making an illusion that the impeachment was something like the Epstein file report, and that the war was something of a distraction from that, I think you're probably pretty close. That the direction, the misdirection that the government will use to get its own ends and to distract the people from what it's actually doing is it's impressive.
And that's the fun of having a government that also believes in communication, because we have the FCC that gives us the opportunity to have a conversation regarding that. And that's what's so great. And that's what my, you know, that's where many people came to this country simply to have that as an opportunity to be able to speak to the thing. Otherwise, if you can't have a conversation about a thing, whatever that thing is, it's hard to, you know, come up with solutions, or even to find other ways, or maybe even dive in deeper to that way that you're thinking that you're parsing. So the thought I had there is, what's it like to come to the other side? Okay, you've been in the, you were in the military, there was impact, you saw a lot of fire, you were there. What was it like coming back your first couple of months or years?
Even? Yeah, coming home was sort of surreal. And I went to college. I came home and I went to Greenfield Community College. And my first year back, USS Cole was attacked.
Wow.
And that's a sister ship of mine. I was on USS Stout DDG 55.
Wow.
And when the Cole was attacked, I had been in school for 2 months and college. I was, you know, back at Greenfield Community College, and I realized that I hadn't left the war. The war was still in me, and you know, that's when I went and started joining veterans groups. And I joined a storytelling group of veterans. The first group I joined was it's called Veterans Education Project.
Wow!
And they went into high schools and talked to kids about what war actually is. And so I got to get, you know, just coming home and just being home for a couple months, I got to hang out with Vietnam vets. And it explained to me that the things that I was feeling, like veterans' issues are real.
They are real. That they're, you know, I'm not talking about an Instagram reel. I'm talking the kind of reel that is was spelled with an A, real. Not like, you know, the cream inside a Twinkie, which is spelled with an E. No, real with an A. And so here's the thing. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, in my world, we have like the multi-generational history of World War II just like 70 years ago, that my parents were on the receiving end of a siege. And then at the same time, given the religion they were at that time, they were also trying to escape from people who they thought they were friends, because, you know, my parents were able to kind of be on an upper level of economics, and they were able to hide.
They're lucky.
Yeah, they're lucky. And the bottom line is, you know, there's some discipline that I have that I don't know where it's come from? Like this ability to respond to the thing that's happening on the news right there. Even happened here in Berkshire County. And I'm like, because I saw, like, when there was a Gestapo, like, I didn't know, but my grandparents told me these things. Gestapo would just be regular people with no masks.
Just like ICE today.
No. We got the mask on.
Well, they're taking the masks off now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
A little pushback?
Well, yeah. They've said that the, you know, courtrooms have said they can't wear masks while you're kidnapping people, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it makes a thing. You know, and here's the thing. There's, you know, there's all this clear level. You know, the fun part about it is today's election day, and there might be a big
shift.
Make
sure you go out and vote.
Go out and vote. Do your voting. But I'm really interested in, from the first time you came back and you found that you were able to talk to people and interact as a community, what had you want to start a Veterans for Peace? What's that?
Well, Veterans for Peace is an international organization now. It started in Maine in 1985, and it was started by
Maine.
Yeah, chapter one is in Maine. It started by World War II vets, Korean vets, World War I veterans, mostly Vietnam vets.
Is Graham Plattner a member of Veterans for Peace? Do we know?
I don't know, Glenn.
Graham is actually running for, I believe, senator of Maine against Susan Collins. And
he's
also a veteran.
I don't know if he's one of us or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting to know.
Okay, so the chapters... So we started, chapter one started in 1985 with a mission to abolish war as an instrument of national policy.
Uh-huh.
And then it started branching out. They became a 501c3. And now we have hundreds of chapters nationwide, worldwide.
Would you, okay, you, I get it. It's really.
It's becoming a thing.
I hear it a different way, but I was wondering, would you ever support a military action?
The theory of peace by force is a false theory. And
oh, total retracting of the thing being in use. Okay, so great, I got it.
Yeah, the idea that you can... So peace, the element of peace is like there's order that we're all following. And when I'm holding a gun over you, the order is forced. And so the
military... You mean coercion doesn't work as a way of... relating to people?
Unfortunately, if coercion worked, we would have peace a long time ago.
I know.
We would have had peace in the Roman times, you know?
Yeah, we would have totally been at peace all these last 250 years, never a fight.
Yeah,
never.
Pax Romana was not really peace.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
It wasn't. And this idea of Pax Americana is also not peace. It's domination, and it's not the same thing at all.
No, I get it. It's a thing, you know, and human beings are a funny bunch. We will resist domination.
We do.
Human beings.
Yep. It's part of our
makeup.
And it comes out in strange ways. And veterans, like the active duty folks, know there's something wrong, and they're trying to reconcile what they did and what they're doing and what's real and what's right.
That's actually interesting. There's another group I heard of. There are quite a few veterans groups have come to the fore lately. There's another one that's directly related to how people are voting in Congress to make sure they are funding the restitution of people after coming back, and also to what they're doing to, like, have war as a modern policy of coexistence, which it ain't.
So just to reiterate here, the idea that conflict is always going to happen. Human beings have conflict.
Yeah.
But the way we deal with that conflict and the brutality of it, if we decide to deal with our conflict in brutal ways, then we're going to sustain brutality.
Okay.
And Gandhi and Reverend King showed us another way to engage in conflict that lift everybody up, including the earth, and won't destroy the water, won't destroy the air, and all the people will be better off that engaged in conflict than started out.
Okay, so
pacifism and nonviolence is the way of humanity should be engaging in conflict.
Let's engage that with water. Let's engage with
the water wars are coming.
They're already here.
Right.
I want to engage with someone who has been who, on his way out the door, he was starting to forge a new path, and that guy's name is John F. Kennedy. And John F. Kennedy came up with a whole series of theories or things, and one of which was he had a really great love for water. He had a quote, highly quoted quote of John F. Kennedy, is the person who handles the water issue should get two Nobel Prizes, one for peace and one for science.
That's a good quote.
And that was one of his main, main well-known quotes, especially when it comes to water. Bottom line, it doesn't have to be one person who wins that. It could be a community. It could be a state, a region, a country, a hemisphere. It doesn't have to be one person who does that, or even two. It could be a whole, imagine. You know, we were talking just about war before and active duty and all that and the impact. Imagine if you have an international peace conference, okay?
That'd be beautiful.
International, okay, it happens to be taking place in the mountains. However, you have a week to hang out by the best body of water that you like, ocean, waterfall, river, swimming hole, whatever it is. You go there with your favorite security guard, concubine, no judgment zone. You know, they're going to go with their friend, family, kids, whatever. They spend a week, creature comforts, whatever it is, and then you go to the peace conference. Imagine people going to peace conferences not stressed out. You know, they're at peace. Imagine.
It's a beautiful thing.
You know.
Anybody talking about peace would be a beautiful thing. I just want to make a quick side note here. You're talking about the Nobel Peace Prize. And I feel like Veterans for Peace deserves the Nobel Peace Prize every year.
Yeah.
And so other organizations getting it, their people, whatever. Veterans working for, international veterans working for peace is a winner every year in my book.
Yeah. So who founded Veterans for Peace? When was it founded?
It was Chapter 1 founded it 1985. And there's a few folks still living. We refer to them as the founders, and we revere them. They are.
And where were they? What part of the country?
In Maine.
Oh, the Mainers.
Yeah, they were in Maine when it started. And
was it by the water where they were, like Eastport?
I think they were in Augusta.
Augusta. All right. Yeah. So,
and they were
water
just,
helped them yeah. think of peace, you know.
And they were concerned about the first thing that they did was they sent aid to the people of Central America. So it had to do with the Sandinistas and the wars that were going on in the 80s.
Oh, and the ones that extend to now. Right?
The same. In some ways, they're unending.
It's like a
they are unending wars.
You know, it's unnecessary.
They are unnecessary.
I know. From my side, I see it as, pardon me, being on the receiving end. Of the bullets, you know, being on the, you know, imagine, and people impacted by that. When a person is impacted by seeing the impact,
it gets in your dreams. It gets in your memory, and
it's there.
They come. It comes unbidden. You know, it definitely does that.
Now. In the Veterans for Peace event, there's going to be a couple more. There's going to be some Veterans Day things going on. Isn't there someone talking on that book, the author?
Well, we're going to be in the parade for sure here on Veterans Day in the city here. And if you want to join us, please come and join us. We'd love to have you. Just look for us. We'll be wearing our Veterans for Peace. And I don't know if you can see us right now. Maybe some of you on the radio, but we have an old military army helmet with a dove on it.
Nice.
That's
nice.
Our symbol.
And if wherever you are listening from, if you have this podcast and you are getting ready to go to a Veterans Day event, see if you could find those veterans for peace.
Yeah, we'll be there. We're going to be here in town. The chapters are, it's five chapters in Massachusetts.
Wow.
And
what parts?
Oh, there's one in Boston, one on the North Shore, one on the Cape.
What's the farthest away from the Northeast that one is?
We are.
No, is there are there any more further?
There's Hawaii. There's chapters in Hawaii. There's chapters in Vietnam.
Whoa, check it out.
So Vietnam veterans have gone back to Vietnam and formed chapters there.
Wow.
There's chapters in Canada. There's chapters in Mexico. There's chapters in Europe.
That's got to be a healing mission, going back to the place that you were shooting bullets at.
Yeah.
And saying you're sorry to the families that are still alive that you can find.
We have been running missions back there, and they're... bringing a lot of money with them, and their retribution, paying back that way.
Yeah.
And in Iraq, we've been going back and building water systems. Veterans for Peace has.
Uh huh.
Which I feel like has been one of the most successful missions, going back and making peace in Iraq. Has been our work.
And helping with the water systems that got destroyed. I had forgetting his name. He's with the Eisenhower Media Network. He's captain. He was in
Scott Ritter.
No, Scott. I don't know. I do know Scott as well.
He's a local guy. He talks a lot about these things.
Yeah.
He was there.
Uh-huh. There's just so much that goes into this. And, you know, why, okay, so someone's on the fence, okay? Let's say they're in the space of, you know, but my family has fought every war, and there's no way I could turn down this kind of life. To, I'm not sure. What am I going to do? Like, what would you say would be the pitch? Like, why?
Well, I would say that my grandfather was in World War II. My father was drafted in Vietnam. My brother joined me in the military. I come from a military family. I come from the family you're describing. And what I'll do, what happened to me was that I saw them. I asked myself, what is the military? What is it? And the best answer I ever heard was a guy, Smedley Butler. He earned 2 Medals of Honor. He's the only person that's been Medal of Honor twice. He was a general in the Marine Corps.
He was so good that people were looking to use him to overthrow the currently elected government.
That's right. Yeah, they wanted to use him as a coup person.
And then they downtrodden him because he said no.
That's right.
So what? Tell me about Smed.
Yeah, Smedley said is that what the military is a high, it's a collection agency. That's what Smedley said. He said that. His job was to be a collections agent, to go into the banana republics and to get the property that the government and the, you know, our empire was expected to have.
Oh, well, yeah, no, you got to grow bananas somewhere.
We need our bananas, and we can't let them have their own bananas. You know, those are bananas.
Yeah, it's
what are really, our bananas doing and growing in their forests, right?
I know, it's amazing. It truly is amazing. Now, the bottom line is, there's no hate here for people in the military. None at all.
No, I love the military people.
You know, there's an amazing amount of training of anything from logistics to keeping your word to having sense of self to some level.
Yeah.
And being present. You know, you don't want someone sleeping on a job while they're guarding the line. And that's about, I see value in that. You know?
There is value in learning how to push yourself.
Yeah.
But learning how to push yourself so that you can become an instrument of death and destruction is not the way. It's not the way.
What's wrong with Lucifer?
So Stoicism, I have learned a lot about pushing myself. And I've picked on Stoicism. But you asked me earlier, what was the thing that got me going? And I'll say I went to seminary after I got back.
Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus, he's helpful. He understood power. He understood force.
For those of you who don't know Marcus Aurelius, just think gladiator. Go ahead. And that's sure. The dad. That's like the father who, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's the character. It's supposed to be the character of him, but it's Russell Crowe. It's Hollywoodized.
I know. Don't.
But so you're learning how to sense of self and being able to persevere. Those are valuable things. But, when you get put in a position where you're using those skills and those tools to destroy the earth and destroy other people, and with the idea that you want to create peace, you're using the real tools.
Too much yin and not enough yang. You know, you gotta you know, the balance of the game around water. You know, just listen to this beautiful ocean. Oh, you want to calm down. Why would you like to lob a bomb on the person in the sandbox right now? Nope, they're at the beach. Would. Don't do it. Anyway, the bottom line is it's that kind of life-changing point of view, given from where you came from and what you were doing at the time you were doing it,
mm-hmm.
that's life-changing in itself. It's a complete alteration of your point of view, and that's happening a lot now. And I want to speak to that because there's been like a four-year gap year, which is like seven. It's been like 7 years. It's been happening so fast, but people have had changes of mind in such, not everybody. Some people are holding on, you know, dear life, please. Because I need Uber to work or something like that. But it's more like people have changed their minds. Lots of things have happened in the last couple of years. You said you came here 4 years ago. That's a whole time to shift the perspective. And yeah. That's amazing. And if, let's say, people want to participate around Veterans for Peace, what can they do? Are you guys having like a Christmas party? What's going on?
Well, the parade is our next thing.
Parade. Cool.
And a couple members of us are in members of a church down in South County at the Unitarian Church of South County is what it's called.
Right in Housatonic?
Yep, in Housatonic. And on the Sunday after Veterans Day, I think it's the 16th.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We're doing a service there, and I'm actually going to be hosting the service.
Cool.
And I went to seminary, and we're going to be talking about the spiritual aspects of war.
Yeah.
And the theory of, you know, peace by force. How does that affect us spiritually?
Thank you, Reverend.
You're welcome.
That's so great. It's so, so great. You know what? You know, there's nothing about to say what the what so is, but there are areas of the country that whole economies are geared toward this. And
I think Pittsfield is one of them.
And that's and my thing is, what is a person to do if they have a family? Okay, let's look at it from a different perspective. They have a family. They want to put someone through college. They have an engineering degree. Perhaps some of it electrical engineering. What are they going to do if they have family roots? Like, I get it. No, I get it. I do.
So what I tell people?
There will be a cycling through, but at the same time, our economic current model supports that business venture.
Yeah. But this is one of the only jobs programs we have right now for young people is the military. And it's not actually a jobs program. So that's one of the things I tell people. The military is not a jobs program. It's not a travel program. It's not an educational program. You know, even though they try to tell you these things. What the military is meant and designed to destroy and kill the enemies of the United States. And
wow. Are we making more enemies or not? That's going to be the next
question.
Show. We're going to come back a little after the new year. But
I'd love to come back. But let me just
totally.
Say real quick, what I say to young people, we do pre-enlistment counseling, and we let the young people know that there are other options to the military.
Wow. Do you ever show up at like jobs fairs? Like
we have done that before.
Schools?
Yeah, we've done that before.
Cool.
So what we say is that the fire department has everything the military has. You get the outfits, you get the uniforms, you get a mission, you get to save people.
You get water.
You got water. The fire department has everything that the military has except for the mission. And so it's a paramilitary organization, and any young person I offer counsel that wants to have an adventure in life, I say to them, join the fire department.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe one day everybody could meet Robert De Niro and be in a blowback too. But anyway, fire trucks, everybody loves fire trucks. They are so cool.
Yeah, there's no song that says, you know, bleep the fire department, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the place I want to end with is it's a powerful conversation to be in a conversation for, okay, here we are, now what? And I think part of what you're doing is an inquiry into now what? What do we do? Because we've been doing this thing for so long. What are we going to do instead of that?
Yeah, what we're doing isn't working. So what do we do now?
Yeah, what now?
And so pacifism, we get involved with our conflicts with dignity and respect and uphold the earth, uphold the combatants, and realize that nonviolence, loving nonviolence, is the only way forward for conflicts.
That's so cool. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. And thanks again, Eric, for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Leslie.
Sharing your perspective. You're listening to the only show dedicated to water here at WTBR FM 89.7, going from the Berkshires to all around the big blue globe.
In the heart of winter. And now it's time for Silly Songs with Laddie, the part of the show where Laddie comes out and sings a silly song. So without further ado, Silly Songs with Laddie.
The Water Buffalo Song.
Everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, but mine is slow. Oh, where'd we get them? I don't know. But everybody's got a water buffalo. I took my buffalo to the store. Got his head stuck in the door. Spilled some lima beans on the floor. Oh, everybody got a...
Stop right this instant. What do you think you're doing? You can't say everyone's got a water buffalo and everyone does not have a water buffalo. We're going to get nasty letters saying, where's my water buffalo? Why don't I have a water buffalo? And are you prepared to deal with that? I don't think so. Just stop being so silly.
This has been Silly Songs with Laddie. Tune in next time to hear Laddie sing.
Everybody got a baby kangaroo. Yours is pink, but mine is blue. Hers was small.
Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.